Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. Alexandra Carmelli is the founder of the Facebook tribe, We Build Killer Teams. Her mission is to empower and inspire 50,000 leaders to invest in themselves so they can build teams who show up for more than a paycheck and work for a cause greater than themselves. Stay tuned for our show. Hi, Alex. Thanks so much for joining me today on Convo with Keisha. How are you?
I am great. I'm so, so happy to be here. So excited to be with you.
Yeah, me too. I'm so excited. So listeners, I just want to let y'all know, Alex has been like super, super patient with me. When COVID first started, things were so crazy at the store. Like I couldn't even break away to do a freaking podcast interview, but she's been amazing. And I'm so excited for you all to hear what she has to share with us, because she has a bomb Facebook group, but I'm gonna let her tell you all about that. So start off by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I'm obviously Alex. I'm the founder of the We Build Killer Teams Facebook group. So it's a free community. And our mission is really to empower and inspire 50,000 leaders to start investing in themselves so that they can build amazing teams, show up for more than a paycheck, and really feel like they're part of a cause that's greater than themselves. So that's every day where I'm like, super psyched to build amazing teams with entrepreneurs, even with like podcasters trying to build their team of listeners. That's really what gets me going. And then I am the author of Teach Your Ducklings to Fly, which is a guide for people who are just like absolute rock stars at what they do. And they want to start getting into coaching. They want to start learning how to teach beginners. And that's my little intro.
That's awesome. Like, that's really cool. I love women who invest in others, especially other women. Like, it's like a sisterhood that we have to where, yeah, we want to help everybody else, but we love like helping each other, like get to where we need to be. So I think that's awesome. I love it. So what was your inspiration behind We Build Killer Teams Tribe? Like, who is it for?
Yeah. So originally, really, this is like the tribe that I wish I had probably 6 months ago. So my background is actually in fitness. So I quit my job in December of 2019, where I was overseeing five different gyms, really, really big teams. And I was just running myself into the ground, getting up from 5 a.m. going until 9 p.m., do it over and over again, and really never stopping. And I used to be this person who was learning and podcasting and growing. And I just totally stopped that. And I felt like I was like shrinking and getting smaller and, you know, just feeling terribly. And so this group is for those leaders who really maybe don't have the money or the time or the support or the space to invest in themselves. And it's to keep them in that growth mindset so that they can build, you know, incredible teams. So, you know, that's the first thing. So for anyone who wants to step up and be a leader, whether it's in their family, whether it's in their community, whether it's in their business. And I use the word team kind of loosely. Like, for example, you know, your team would be your podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. Like, those are your people. That's your tribe. They are on a mission. You know, that's the kind of people that we're working with.
Right. And I think it's so cool to say it that way because we don't see people who we serve as our team. We normally just see them as clients or customers. I love how you have that because we can't function without them, honestly, if you think about it. So when you think a team, that's what a team does. That's what a team is. People who help you in whatever mission that you're trying to get to in the end. And I think we miss out sometimes when we see people just as clients or customers and not as a part of our team.
Yeah, I love that you said that. It's so powerful because I really believe like any change you want to make in your life, like if you want to lose weight, if you want to change your job, if you want to start a business, like you can't do it alone. So if you're working with a coach, if you're working or listening to a podcast, like you want to join that community, like you want to move with those people and it's going to be that much more powerful.
Right. Yeah. And it, like we say, if there's power in numbers, that is like so true. And I think of your group, like there's always like such great information in there. Like people are sharing and it's a space, it's a safe space to say, hey guys, today I don't have it. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me with this? Or where am I going wrong? Where there's constructive criticism and feedback to help people grow and to be the leaders that we know that they can be.
Yeah, I love that you said that. I think there are certain communities that I've been a part of where it just feels really spammy. People trying to like one up each other and trying to sound better and just prove that they're the smartest. And for me, I'm like, all right, let's get rid of all of that. Let's just be vulnerable. Let's really talk about root of the problems and let's show up for each other. Like it's so much more pleasant and enjoyable.
Right. That's, oh God, I just love that. Like when you think about team, and I know you say you use the word very loosely and it's so key to use it that way, what steps do you take if you want to create a team, you know, who shows up for more than just the paycheck? Because now that's what you get. If you don't vet people the way you need to vet them, you get paycheck people, not people who want to stay for the long term.
Yeah, I think it's so, so true. I think there's two parts to this. Mm-hmm. The first piece, before you can ask anyone to be on your team, to join your cause, join your mission, like you need to know your personal journey, your personal why. And, you know, for me, this used to be a really hard thing to talk about or to think about because there's times where like our journey isn't pleasant, where we have like really uncomfortable memories or traumas, like, and so I know it's so true.
Yeah.
So like that's the first thing. Like for me in my leadership journey, me really stepping into that role, I did this timeline exercise where from birth to now, I wrote down all of my significant memories. Mm-hmm. And I started looking for trends, like what patterns am I seeing? Like why am I the way I am? And you know, I was promoted to a management role very young. I think at like 21, I was in a management role over like a really big team. And people were like, well, why are you so good? How are you so good at having these conversations? Mm-hmm. And after doing that timeline, one of the things I realized was I've had to be an adult since I was like 12. Mm-hmm. Like I've had to have really hard conversations with my parents, family members. I've had to show up as the adult all my life. And now you're just asking me to do it in a different setting.
Yeah, that makes sense. We were having a conversation at work just recently, and my company's really good about coaching up. They love for us to coach up. And I think it's key when, like you say, when at 12 that you are having to do those things. And I find myself that way too. My mom was an alcoholic. And so I find myself at times where my brother and I had to like kind of step up and be the adult and take care of ourselves in some situations. And I remember when I was younger, as a young mom going through depression, where my kids had to step up, you know, sometimes when it was so dark, you know, for me, I couldn't even function, that they have to step up. But you're right. If people don't know your journey, your personal mission, they can't buy in. And yeah. If you want people to show up, just not for the paycheck, but to show up for the cause, they got to be involved in that whole process.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think there are so many times where I'll use you as the example where, you know, you've been podcasting, you told me you've been podcasting for a year, you've had amazing guests. And like, I'm sure there are people who probably look at you and are like, wow, she must have had like all of these advantages and all of these things and all of this help. And it's really like everyone starts from the bottom.
Right.
And you telling that story, like, you, really humanizes you and shows yeah. people you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of times people miss it because they're afraid to share that story. They're afraid for people to know the real authentic them. I was talking to a guest this morning, recording from my podcast, and we talked about how we don't know how to interact in person anymore with people. This quarantine kind of is forcing us to kind of do that, and also to be in touch with the real authentic ourselves. I read an article where we were talking about personal branding and networking, and it was saying how we are, it said we were unauthentically deceptive. And I was like, whoa, like that's, that whole phrase within itself is just powerful. And he said it in a sense of, because we're always behind this, the phone, yeah. or we're behind a, you can only see my camera for so much when I'm on a live or whatever. I could have trash behind me, you wouldn't even know it. But if someone was to come interact with me personally in my space, they would be like, oh, Alex look like she got it going on, but oh, her house nasty, you know? Or, oh, Lakeisha got clutter. He was saying that we have to learn how to stop being that way when we're dealing with people and we want them to buy into what we have to offer. Yeah, in personal branding, you do want to put your best foot forward, but you also need to be authentic so that when the real you shows up, and he said it's going to show up regardless of the fact. It's going to be a tough situation where something may happen, where that real you is going to emerge and it's going to throw people off because they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I did not know Lakeisha was like that, when you've always been like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's this awesome quote, my mentor, and it's like my mantra now, but vulnerability should always precede authority.
Yeah.
Like, won't you tell anyone what to do or feel like you should be able to give them advice? Like, have you opened up to them? Have you been the vulnerable one who showed, like, I've gone through these struggles, really, before you ask them to take any piece of advice from you?
Right.
And I really try to live by that in the group whenever I, you know, give advice or whenever I work with clients.
Right. Yeah, I always feel like, you know, you can't testify to something you ain't never been through. Like, we got all of these Facebook doctors and nurses and lawyers and stuff on there. I'm like, you do not have PhD after your name. You don't have anything after your name. And you trying to tell me, like, how can a person who's never built a business tell me how to build my businesses? How can someone who's never been through struggles, depression, all of these things, and tell me how I should, you know, do things? It's like,
yeah, it's such a good point. But that's the thing, like, if you really have been through those things and have the experience, like, people will treat you the same way,
right,
if you don't share that experience. So, like, share it so people have that, like, social proof,
right,
and they trust you, because you're right, like, everyone and their mother is a expert on everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
And it's so crazy. It's so crazy. Yeah. So let's switch gears for a little bit. Let's talk about leaders and leadership. So I always, until I became a member of, I'll say a top member of management or a top leadership role in an organization, I always believed that leaders were born. I always felt that if you didn't have it, you didn't have it. That leadership could not be something that's taught. Well, as I've gotten older and gotten more developed, gotten more information, you know, that has changed for me. So leaders are made, they're not born. I really truly believe that now. Where do you think you start if you want to take on more of a leadership role in any aspect of your life?
Yeah, I think it's such an important realization that like you have the control to make or break who you want to be and what you want to be. And there's this, again, this mantra that stands out for me that's create the world that you want to live in. And for me, that means that if there's a job that you want or if there's a role that you want, mm-hmm. whether it's official or unofficial, you just start doing whatever it is, whether it is paid or not paid. Mm-hmm. So I'll give an example of, you know, when I started my career, I started as a personal trainer, mm-hmm. and I loved learning. I loved everything I was absorbing. And we had so many new people join our team, and I wanted to be a mentor for them. Like, I really wanted to help them, but they weren't willing to pay me. And so I was like, all right, I don't care. Like, I am going to put together development meetings. I'm going to put together one-on-one meetings. And I just started doing it. And I did it probably for like 2 or 3 months and got really good. And then they offered me the job.
Oh, and wow.
So, yeah, I think, and that's really what's happened with every promotion that I've wanted, is if you want something, just start doing it.
Right.
Without asking, without like a string attached, where I think there are so many people who are like, I'll be a leader if you promote me, or I'll be a leader if you give me X.
Right.
Like, you have to do the job before you get all the rewards that come with it.
Right, right. Yeah, I think if you look at it, because I mean, for me, I look back and on every role where I've been promoted, I was actually doing the job.
Yeah.
I got promoted to. Before I got promoted, which showed them that I could handle the job, that I could do the job, you know, beforehand. And that's why I think my whole mindset shifted from leaders. I do feel like you're born with certain leadership traits. I do feel like those traits that you have, or the type of leader that you are born with that. I don't think that part can be taught. I do think your leadership style can be shifted and could be developed, or things like that. Because like you said, if you want a certain role, you got to step out and do it. Like, you just got to start doing those things for people to see you and notice you, to say, oh, she's promotable, let's move her up. You know, oh, or she's really good at this, let's move her up. I think sometimes, like you said, we say, oh, well, I want to be a leader. What's next? Okay, so what are you doing?
Right.
To show people that you are a leader.
Yeah, I think it comes down to like what you feel like you have control over and what you feel like you're allowed to do. So I'll give an example of like, let's say you're in your workplace or in your business and you see like one of either your employees or a coworker doing something and you're like, wow, that could have been much better. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of issues with this. Like, are you the person that feels responsible for going and having that conversation, regardless of if you're like the official manager, mm-hmm. or are you the person who's like, I want this to be an amazing team. I'm committed to the mission. Like, I am going to have this conversation because I would want to know that if it were me.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, that makes total sense. Like, if people think about it, you know, what is it about you that makes people want to choose you as a leader if they haven't seen anything?
Yeah.
If you haven't shown any signs of wanting to do more, why would people choose you? You know, that's a great point. I love that. So think about leaders in whole. What do you think is the one big mistake that you've seen leaders make?
Yeah, I think this is, I love talking about this. You know, one of the big things I think with people who want to lead is they have this core value of really, really wanting to help and really wanting to share and really feeling like they want to take people to the next level, which is amazing. But there are times when they are really, really almost like oblivious to how much they are giving people and how easy it is to overwhelm the person who's sitting in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this could be in your families too. I've had this happen with so many family members even who I've been like, you know, I need advice on X.
Right.
And then tell me like every type of TED talk, what's happened to them in the past,
yeah.
What, you know, what to do now, what book to read. And I'm like, oh my God, like, how am I don't even, this is so overwhelming. Like, when are we going to end this conversation?
Yes. Yes.
So I think that that's a really big one where it's so easy to talk at people instead of with them.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I would, for me at least, I really try to, every single time I talk with someone, I just check in, like, does all of this make sense? Do I need to slow down? Like,
right.
What are you taking away from this conversation? And it's not to be condescending. It's like, I'm really, I always try to think, am I sharing this content for me or for you? Like, who is this for?
Right. Right. That makes sense. Because we build businesses or we start businesses based off of what we like or what we're good at. But we forget who we're servicing. We're not servicing ourselves. So
yes.
You building out stuff that you like, that you want, then who are you servicing? You gonna pay yourself?
It's so true though. Like, our instinct is to go toward like what feels good for us. And right. Like, I know for me, like whenever you share something that you're passionate about, like
right.
Even now, like you have a physical response where your right. Heart rate speeds up and you get some adrenaline going and you feel really good. And it just like totally blinds you to who's sitting
yes.
In front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an exhilarating feeling. I think some people, sadly enough, will never experience it because they never tap into that inner core. But mm-hmm. it's a great feeling when you can step up and be that leader. And people think leader is just bossing people around. It's really problem solving. With a creative tip to it, to me, because we find really creative and innovative ways to solve common problems yeah. A lot of the times. Like, literally, that's all we do.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's just keeping the audience in mind, keeping your person in mind first.
Right, right.
I love the info that Alex is giving us right now. Stay tuned. We have to get a word from our sponsors, but we'll be right back.
So let's talk about teams a little bit, because that's something that's very, very near and dear to me. That's something that's super important to me. I think business owners miss out. So tell us why building a team is like absolutely essential for any business owner.
Yeah. So definitely, I think it's essential for any business owner. I think it's essential to create a team with any audience you have too, mm-hmm. Whether that be clients or podcast listeners or blog readers, whoever your people are, need to feel like a team.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few reasons. One, having a team, when people feel like a team and they feel like they belong to something bigger than themselves, they are going to be the first people to promote the everything out of whatever you do.
Right.
They're going to be your absolute super fans when they feel like, you know, they're not just showing up because you're a coach, but they're showing up because they're contributing to really making an impact on the world. So like
right.
From a getting your brand out there and expanding your business, like people love to be part of something that's bigger than them.
Exactly. Exactly. So who would you count as a team?
Yeah, I think it's the obvious ones again are like employees, where mm-hmm. You're like, oh, my team of employees, which is definitely the truth. Like I've been saying, the clients that you have, like, for example, like I was in the fitness industry and we had tons of, trainers who had personal training clients. And the question I would ask for any of you coaches who are listening, like, do your clients know each other? Like, is there a space where they all collaborate and communicate? Like, do they feel like individual clients, individual people who just happen to be showing up for you? Or are they people who are working together to accomplish X? So for example, like if you're a weight loss coach, do your people feel like they're just trying to lose 20 pounds? Or do they feel like they're trying to change the way that we eat dinner in America, or change the way we, you know, the obesity issues in children or in families? Like, what bigger thing does your team, your client base feel like they are working toward?
Right. Right. That makes so much sense. I think we lose sight, especially when, you know, you're solopreneur, you know, sole proprietorship, you miss out on the advantages of having a team. I'm a, you know, sole proprietor, but I have a team of people that help me. I have my social media manager. I have a virtual assistant that helps me. I have a web designer. Now, they all have their own businesses. They don't work for me. We work together. But when I think about my team, I think about those people who help my business function. Because mm-hmm. I know nothing about social media. Ain't no sense in me even lying. I barely can post. I need an expert. You know, I need an expert to help me with that. Because I work this 9-to-5 corporate job, I need someone to handle those little bitty tasks and things that I can't get to throughout the day. I know nothing about web. Like, I can get on there and do some things, but one time, girl, I erased the whole site. Like, I need to leave it alone. That's not for me. So I had to get someone that does, you know, web design and graphic design. So I think we miss out on how good it is to have a team of people that you can work with, who work for you, who, like you said, buy into what your journey is, who are willing to help you grow your brand, build your brand. And they're like your biggest cheerleaders. They're like sharing what you do with everyone else, just as I do. So when someone says, hey, I see your social media, it's popping, it's good, girl. What program you using? Nothing, Brianna. That's her name, Brianna. That's who I use. You know, they ask about my websites, and I'm like, that's Percy. I don't do that. Or they'll talk about, you know, I'm just now getting into email marketing. And if it wasn't for my assistant, Alex, I wouldn't have, I mean, she's literally sat there and she was like, hey, you know, we got to do this. I'm a personality, Alex. So it's like, stuff has to move. Well, my Alex is like, no, we got to be strategic because we get one shot at this. And if we mess up, they can all they can do is unsubscribe and they're not coming back. You know, yeah. It was like, we don't think about the components of our business that make it function to build teams.
Yeah. I mean, I love that point. I think, like, you know, the fact that, like, she feels really comfortable, like, reining you in and just be like, no, like, we need to actually go this direction. And, like, the fact that she even cares enough
right.
to give you that feedback is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, means she cares about what you guys are trying to do. And right. I know that that probably sounds really simple, but, like, I think more often than not, people don't share the feedback because they just don't care enough.
You know, that makes sense. That does. Like, I never, yeah. And they miss out.
Because, like, for me, like, I think there have been so many times where I just have not said anything because I'm like, screw this person. Like, they're not even going to listen to what I have to say. Like, it won't even matter. But, you know, for the people that I think I really deeply care about, I will say something even if it's uncomfortable.
Right. Right. And I think that's a part of, like, what you said in the beginning about leadership, like being able to step up. We need those people in our lives, especially when you have strong personalities like us. Like, I know sometimes my personality takes over the freaking room, like, literally, I know. And I don't do it on purpose. It's just how I'm built. That's just how it is. I'm gonna be the loudest in the room. I'm gonna own that room. It's just who I am. But when I have people in my life who care enough about me, my brand, relationships, to say, that may not be a good idea. How about we try this? Those are the people I want to be surrounded with. Yeah. Those are the people who I want to do business with, because they're going to make me better. It doesn't matter whether I pay them or don't pay them, or we're bartering or negotiating services. The mere fact that you can say that to me means that you truly care about me. And it's like, we're still working on the email marketing. Like, Alex is trying different things. We're trying to find different programs. She's like, listen, we can't rush this whole thing. I know you trying to get it out there. I know you want to grow your subscribers. But she was like, we get one shot at this. We can't, you know.
Yeah, can't do that. It's awesome that she can do that. She can communicate like that with you. It's great.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. So let's talk about your book a little bit. Yeah. Why did you decide to write Teach Your Ducklings to Fly?
Yeah, so a few reasons. So I think the first reason
really is it was the thing that
kept waking me up at night. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've ever had like an idea or like just something that you keep thinking about that like you wake up and you're like, I need to write this thing down, or like, here's another idea that I have. So like this book, this idea, like I was having a lot of trouble at my last job, not really feeling aligned with the values in the company, not really feeling like I was in the right place, mm-hmm. feeling like I was just wasting time until I could finally go off and launch my own business. And all the things I was teaching and coaching, you know, I wanted to spread that outside of where I was, because I really wanted people, not just in fitness, but everywhere, to have access to really how do you become a great teacher? Because I think there are so many people who are amazing at what they do, and then they get promoted and they just are like, they've never had to teach, and like it's such a different skill,
right,
than actually doing. So I wanted to really empower those people. So that's the first reason. Like, it kept waking me up, and you know, I wanted to spread the message,
right?
And the second, this is a huge for like, I'm sure you have a lot of coaches and podcasters who listen, but a book truly, truly establishes you as an authority in your industry. Mm-hmm. And one thing one of my mentors has said is, if, you know, if 500 people want to write a book, great. 100 of them are going to start and get kind of far, and 3 of them are going to publish it. Mm-hmm. And so just the fact in and of itself that you are the person who, even if the book sucks, hopefully it doesn't suck.
Right.
But the fact that you're that action taker, uh-huh, that went through all of the work to do it and put something great and try to spread a really positive message, like, that's really telling.
Yes. Yes. That makes sense. I've heard that too, about how books help brand you in your industry. Like, people say, I don't care how many, you know, like for me, I've done tons of events. I don't care how many events you've done. You don't have a book. Like, you're just a regular planner. Like, your books just set you apart. It gives you like this authoritative feel, you know, because you've written about it. You're putting information into it that you may not do on a daily basis, especially like, say, in a service industry like mine, people see me in action. You know, they don't necessarily know like all the tidbits that go into planning or even managing an event, but that book helps to put me in that spotlight or in that frame to where people are like, oh, well, that's how it is. Oh, well, that's why they do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so, so true. I love that you said that. I think it's so important. And one other way that has been helpful is in my group, what I usually do is whenever I send out my welcome post, like welcoming the new members, I always put a link to like download a free copy of the book. And it's like one way that I start to build a relationship with my team and with my group. that they can get to know me on a deeper level and show that, like, here's really what I'm about. Here's what this group is going to be about. Like, I think it's really helped establish that sense of team too.
Right. So tell me, like, how has the book helped grow your business?
Yeah. I think the biggest way that it's helped is in helping me get one, like, I've had a lot of podcast interviews come from it, which has helped me grow. I've had like speaking opportunities come from it, which has helped me grow. And then there have been people through Amazon who have bought the book that have reached out to me, that have like downloaded the journal that I offer for free in the book. So it's put me in a position to afforded me opportunities and really allowed me to network with a lot of people I wouldn't right. have gone to before.
Right. I don't think people think how amazing those opportunities really are. For me, like, I sit back and I'm like, what would I even write about? You know, like, for me, because I haven't written anything. And now my business is at a place where I think I need to, but I just kind of like, I'm like, okay, so what in the world should I talk about? But then when people say, what is it that you talk about most often? What are the top 10 things that people ask you consistently? What is it? What are the five pains in your business? So then when you give it to me that way, I'm like, oh, hell, I could write like 4 books on.
Yeah.
Is that sort of the process that you think, you know?
Yeah, I feel like one, I definitely think you have a lot of books in you. I can feel that. Yeah, I worked with a book coach for 6 months. We're actually just finishing up the 6 months, and I have book 2 coming out next month.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first things he had us do was like brain dump every single idea you could possibly have to write a book. And in this closet that's behind me, I literally have like sheets, these huge posters just filled with ideas for books.
Right.
And you just get it all out, and then you pick the one thing that's like really, really hitting you.
Okay. Okay.
Get everything out.
I love brain dumping, Alex. Let me tell you, I use it so often. So like for me, I do it on a weekly basis. And so when I talk to, say, like my aspiring event planners, or when I talk to other people, like today, I just did a whole speech about balance. It's so much stuff in our heads. Like when I first did a brain dump, I literally scared myself. I was like, this was in my head. And some of my greatest ideas, Alex, have come from a brain dump. They have literally come from a brain dump. So like I normally, you know, I'll set a timer. I'll tell, you know, Alexa to set a timer for 5 minutes. And for 5 minutes, I just let my brain go. Yeah. And then they go back to it, say maybe 20 minutes later or even the next day. And I just circle what's relevant. But some of the stuff I'm like, what in the world was I thinking about? But I notice I sleep better. I don't feel so much overwhelmed. Because I've let that thing out. Like, our brains are so weird. We just don't understand.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's so true. And part of, like, the book writing process was, like, at the beginning, I thought I knew what I wanted to write about. And I was like, this is going to be the book. And he was like, no, this is not the book. You need to brain dump. You need to do all these exercises and get a lot of clarity on what you want to do. Because like you said, our brains are so right. complicated that maybe you think you're trying to write about one thing when that's not right. that's not really what you need to be writing about.
Right.
Like
right.
those exercises just go deep, deep into your brain and just get out like the tiniest things that you're like, I didn't even know that existed. Like that's the, you know, that's the magic.
True. I remember I have a friend, and actually, you know, just with you and I talking makes me, you know, think, yeah, I need to reach out to her. Because when we first talked about a book, because she said the same thing. She was like, Lakeisha, like, you got like a bunch of books in you. Like, we need to get started with one. And she was like, well, what's the one thing that you feel like you're an expert at? And I said, you know, event planning. And she said, no, that, why would we write a book about that? You know, eventually, she was like, yeah, eventually you will. But there are other topics that you just don't know how, like, well-versed that you're in, that you can speak on, that will open up other doors, not just for event planning, but other platforms for you. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so true. And, you know, I think we're so quick to pick, like, the first thing or the thing that we want instead of maybe the thing that we need.
Right.
And there's one really powerful, like, lesson I've learned from this, like, book coach that I've worked with is, you know, if the book is serving as a powerful transformation tool for you, you're going to have other people transform from reading the book.
Yeah.
So, like, the book is for you first, and it's for you to work through. Like, for, like, the second book that I wrote, it's called Stand in Fear, and it's all about, like, the moments where I was just, like, terrified, where launching a business or spending thousands of dollars on coaching or having fights with family members, whatever you're dealing with, this book has to show up and serve you first. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to serve everyone else.
Right. It's so funny you said that. I just had a guest on the podcast, Tierra Nicole. Amazing, amazing. And she talked about losing her twins at birth. Like, she carried them, birthed them, and they died several days apart. And she said the grief was just so unbearable. Like, it was just so much. And she said there are resources about grief, but they don't tell you how. And that's funny that, you know, we would say, like, well, why would you need a book to learn how to grieve? No one, you don't know that, what that pain could be. I mean, I've lost both of my parents, and I know what grief was like losing my mom. It was just unbearable. Like, I literally did not want to get out of the bed. And so Tierra Nicole talks about there was no resources out there for her, so she wrote one. So her book served her. And now it's serving and helping others. So it was just, like, spot on when you said that. Like, it definitely, she said her mom told her, if you don't see what you need to create it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I love that so much. And it's just, I don't know if people see a book as a transformation tool for, like, the author. I think they just see it as, like, a something you sell and something you consume. But writing these books has been the biggest way I've transformed, where I started with this coach in September of 2019, and now fast forward to April of 2020, and I've quit my job, completely changed my lifestyle, you know, started this group, started this business, and I really attribute that to, like, actually investing in myself and taking the time to do this for me, not just for everyone else.
Right, and that's so true, and that's where I was telling a friend on yesterday, I said, that's where I feel like I'm at. Like, I like my job. I like the people I interact with, but I'd love to be at home with, like, everyone else and just to be working my own business. And so one of the business coaches that I'm working with, you know, her whole thing was, you know, like, why are you waiting to, you know, do that? She said, you need to, you know, she feels like, you know, in some instances, there is a jump that needs to be made, but then some instances, there needs to be a transition. And so we've talked about on our calls, like, you know, delegating little things to other managers in my company, my successor, per se, so that I'm easing myself out of corporate into full-time entrepreneurship. So then when I do take that jump, that leap, and say, you know, peace, I'm gone, I'm not sitting at home not knowing what to do, because today's the first day as a full-time entrepreneur and I have no clue what I should be doing. It's now a case of you made these strategic decisions, you know, and now you've set yourself up to be able to do more things to not only serve others, but now you're serving yourself because you're not going to a job that you may not necessarily really like. You're serving actually in your purpose.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a similar, like, as soon as for me, like my, the thing I like to say is like, when you change your environment, like everything mm-hmm. starts to change, even mm-hmm. if it's that you work with a coach or you join a mastermind, like now you're empowered to be like, screw this. Like, I'm going to do this full time. Like, I'm seeing all these people that are, of course I can do it.
Right. Exactly. And that's so, so true. So look for me to be like on that same journey sometime this year. Cause I'm like, I will call you
if you're not and make sure you are.
Right. And that's what I told somebody. I'm like, call me out. And I think that's another thing. We don't have people that we can be held accountable to, because we want to do this journey on our own. And entrepreneurship is not for, first of all, it's not for the faint of heart, number one. Secondly, you cannot do this business by yourself. You have got to have people that hold you accountable. And so I thank God for people like you who are like, I'm going to hold you to that, because you shouldn't be there. My coach told me, like, you definitely are wasting your time and talent. You know, you're giving it to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, for fractions, for pennies on a dollar, when you could be capitalizing on it for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you so much. I felt like that's where I was like 6 months ago. So I really resonate with that. Like, one thing that's helped, I do this, I have three people that I meet with. I have just accountability partners in addition to like the two coaches that I work with, mm-hmm. where it's people that are like sort of at the same place in their journey as I am, and just like able to like share and like trade and just vent if we need to vent. And we usually meet like every other week, and like me having these three people in different industries that just started their journey is like one thing they don't tell you. And I think this is what you're hinting at when you say entrepreneurship's not for the faint of heart, is like your family and your friends are not going to understand what you're going through. Nope. They are not going to get it. They are not going to be as supportive as you think they are. And like, it's sad, but it's also true. So you need to be really prepared to like, right. build your support system.
Right. I think another thing that people have to understand too is your whole entire, your tribe is going to change. Your friendships are going to change. Family and friends will be supportive only on the tip of, oh, you know, Lakeisha has this new job, but they won't buy in to right. what you have, because they don't understand. They don't even speak our same language, Alex. Like, friends that I grew up with who they like going to work every day, we don't even talk as much as we used to because we don't speak the same language anymore. I don't understand people liking to go to someone else's job every single day without an exit plan.
Yeah. I mean, I totally relate. That's like literally where I am right now experiencing. Yeah. It's just so true.
Yeah. It's so crazy to me, but I'm definitely looking forward to full-time entrepreneurship. Congrats to you with the book and all of that. So what's next? I know you said book two, but what else do you have going on?
Yeah. So, I mean, right now my main focus is growing this tribe of leaders. And eventually when all of this Corona craziness is over, my goal is to really start hosting in-person events. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to start doing like workshops and public speaking. And now I'm doing a lot of that virtually in the group. But really like live events and building that way is really where my passion is too.
Right.
So eventually I think that will be my next step when when all of this ends.
Right. Yes. And I think that's another thing too that people miss out on is, yeah, I definitely believe books get you that authoritative clout you need, but events puts you in front of people.
So yes.
People will not know who you are if there's not an event, you know, to go on. So I tell my planners all the time, where do you want to be on the other side of COVID? Where do you want to be? Because I haven't slowed down. I haven't stopped. I'm still booking people. I mean, I'm booking them, you know, for the end of the year, and I'm booking them for next year. But in all honesty, my business has kind of increased because people are now having to take events online, and they're like, I don't know how to do it. I ain't got time to figure it out. So, hey,
right.
We'll just throw some money at you and you get it done.
Yeah. so true.
Yeah. So people have pivoted and adapted to this new way of life that we have. And so it's just like, it's key to be able to do those things. So I love that. Like workshops and stuff, that's awesome. People get in person and you see a whole different side of them because they're so appreciative of the fact that you, knowing everything you have going on, took time to come and talk to them or help them with whatever they have going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm psyched. I'm so psyched for it. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So tell the listeners how they can get connected with you.
Yeah, so you could find me on my website at Alexandra Carmeli. It's 1L. carmeli.com. And then if any of the stuff I talked about really resonated with you, I'd love for you to join the community on Facebook called We Build Killer Teams. We have tons of just free content. Like I said, I give away a copy of my book, do live interviews in the group, do tons of other great events. So would love to have you part of the tribe if it resonates with you.
Yeah, we have fun in there. I get to peek in there every now and again because I have so much going on. But there's so much. There's just a wealth of information that happens. Like for me, I normally do my off days back to back. So I take like part of one day and I'm going through your group and other groups that I'm in just to get the information out there because we're really committed to helping each other. To build, you know, whatever it is we're trying to build, we're really committed to helping each other with that stuff. So I love it. I love it.
Yes. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on today. We will definitely have you back on. I need folks like you to like talk to the folks, you know, like not interview style, just teach them because a lot of times people want to hear some good content about how to do these things that we talk about, you know, in our interviews. So I'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, this was so much fun. It was such a bright spot of my day. And I'm so happy we finally did this. This was great.
Yes, yes. Corona, COVID need to go somewhere and have a seat and stop messing up stuff. Awesome. Well, thanks again. I appreciate you coming on.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.